Morning once again. Glad that you could join with us, whether you're here or online with us this morning. What an awesome privilege it is to continue in worship and praise and seek God in everything. If you're a guest of ours this morning, we're glad that you could join with us. If you would be willing to take just a moment, and there's a card in front of you in one of the seat backs. You can fill one of those out and then put it in the offering box or hand it to one of the ushers at the door on your way out. We would love to know that you are here with us worshiping. If you have any prayer requests or any praise, make sure to also fill out the prayer form that is there and give that to us. We'd love to know how we can pray with you as well. We do have one official announcement that we do need to make. On January 24th, will be our annual meeting. We need to announce that twice beforehand, and so on January 24th, we will be holding it after the second service, all right, around 11:45. So if you are a member, we would request that you would be here. If you are not a member, you are welcome to join in and listen and hear what's going on. Along with that, you can get the packets. We would encourage you to grab one of the packets before that date, read through it so that we are able to go through the meeting in an orderly fashion and you have all of the information. If you would like, you can go on the church website and download the annual reports, or there are some that should be here that you can take a hard copy as well. But make sure that you do that. So again, January 24th, we'll be having that. If you are unable for any reason to be here at that meeting, would you be sure to contact the office and let them know that you are unavailable to meet in person, and we will be working to try to help get you included in via a Zoom meeting call. So I want to be able to make that available to those who are unable to come to church. I think we can look at things and say that our world is in a little bit of upheaval right now. Lots of things are happening around us. We're experiencing different things in our culture, and it just seems to keep going on. As you saw a few moments ago, we are in this 40 days of prayer, and I would encourage everyone to please take that advantage and actually get involved in the 40 days of prayer, because not only do we need it as individuals, but as a nation we need it. We've been seeing things happening and really things that only God can work out. And so in this week, such an incredible one, as you saw, dealing with conviction of the Holy Spirit, repentance. And so this is a great week to be involved in that. So if you haven't, you can sign up. It's right there. Go onto the web and go to that website, sign up, and they will send you an email link that you can get the daily devotions and the prayer focuses for each day. So you want to do that as well. All right. As we've started out this year, immovable is our theme for the year. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be unpacking that in a more long-term detail as far as what our theme as the church is, the annual meeting. I'll be doing some of that. But we're walking through some character studies of individuals that show immovable lives. And last week we talked about prayer, and today we're going to talk about another situation, integrity. We're going to talk about Daniel again today, but before we do that, I want you to do something. If you have a piece of paper and a pen, I'm going to ask you to do this. First, I want you to write down three words. Now, what are these three words? The three words are simply this. I want you to write down three words that you believe other people would say or use to describe you. Okay? Now, these are not physical words. These are characteristic words about you. So how do you think other people would say three words that you think people would use to say about your character? All right? I'll give you a second to write that down. Three words that others would use to describe your character. Okay. Now, as you look at those words, hopefully, you're, you know, and It would be great if those were good words, that you would feel confident in those. But now I'm going to ask you to write down three different words, okay? Three other words, but these are they're the same idea. It is about your character, but I want you to write down the three words that you believe that God would say about your character. What are three words that you believe that God would say about your character? Those might be different words. Now, it's interesting, if you look at that while you're writing those down, the question that could be asked is, why is it likely that God's words for you and your character will likely be different than the words that others would use? Well, it's quite simple, actually. One of the big main reasons for that is that people, you and I, look at each other from the outside, don't we? We see what you present to us. And so what we will say is your character is based on what we see. And in reality, in a church setting, you might see each other once a week when you walk into the church. And so you might have words that, cheerful or, encouraging or words like that, because we see the outside of each other. God's words might be different that we would assume, because God doesn't look at the outside. God sees what's going on the inside. He sees the motivations of the heart. He sees the mind and all of that. So those words could be different than what we would have others. And what that really is it talks to the very core of integrity. Who we are on the inside becomes who we are on the outside. And so we're going to be looking at this idea of immovable integrity, and we're going to look at Daniel once again. Last week we looked at Daniel chapter 2. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 1, and I'm just going to encourage you to have your Bibles there as we're going to be looking at it. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but we are looking at Daniel chapter 1. And in Daniel chapter 1, what we see is the beginning of where Daniel is introduced. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians have taken over. They've overthrown the Israelites, and they've taken them captive. And it looks maybe a little different than what we expect. In a lot of ways, they allowed people to simply go on living their life. But in this particular case, what happens is King Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find for me all of the young men. And if you look at what it says, where is it here in verse 3 and 4, it says, I want you to find all of the young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. So what happens here is they go out and they find all of the royals, the nobles, the wealthy young men who were smart, who were well educated, who were handsome, perfect specimens. And what they did is they basically said, what we're going to do is we're going to take them into the king's service. They're going to become the servants of the king. And in this process, they lost everything. They lost their identity. They lost their religion. They lost their culture. Because as you notice there, it says that he had them taught in the language and the literature of the Babylonians. So this whole idea was for them to lose who they were and to become servants to King Nebuchadnezzar. On top of that, we see something that is interesting. It also says that the king was, or that they were to be fed the king's food. Now, this is an interesting thing to me, because this story is one of those stories where it really brings to the surface the integrity of Daniel. This is the first thing that we see about Daniel, but it brings to light integrity. But as I look at this, I go, the funny thing about this is that, is food really that big of a deal? Have you read this story of Daniel and gone, this is all about food? And here we are, we're making this big deal about food. Is it really that big of a deal? Well, it points to the integrity of a young man. And even that, in the sense that we would look at it and go, it's not a big deal. In that culture, it was a big deal. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But it shows who Daniel was. He was immovable. His integrity was impeccable. And you look at this story, and what we see are some interesting points about integrity. And if we want to be individuals of integrity, what does this look like? Well, in Daniel, the first thing that we see is that integrity is a choice. Very simple concept. Integrity is a choice. We choose to live the life of integrity. As a matter of fact, many today live under this idea of, I am a victim of what is going on around me, right? The world, this is what's happening, and therefore I'm just fluctuating with what the world is doing. My reactions are based on the world around me, and I live in this reactionary world. But the truth is, we were never called to live reactionary to what is happening around us. We were called to live with integrity in all situations. And we see in the story of Daniel this choice in verse 8. If you were to look at verse 8, there's a word in there that is very important for us to see. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. That one word in there, resolved. This was a choice that Daniel had made long ago. Daniel did not want to do anything that would go against what his belief in God was and what he was doing. And really, when you look at, again, at this situation, you go, is this really a big deal? Daniel, is this the thing that you're going to stand on? You're just first coming into this. The king says, here's the food. Are you going to stand up and say, I am resolved not to do this? Because think about it. This is a situation where he could have gone along with the king. He could have gone along with the decree. And really, everyone would have said that it was okay. Because you see, really, they didn't have a choice. They were under the direction. They were under that king, Nebuchadnezzar, and they had to follow what he said. Otherwise, I mean, potentially they could lose their life for disobeying. Or they would get no food. But the other side of this is you look at it and you say, well, it was the king's food. This wasn't bad. This wasn't like, hey, you know what? The king is eating this. We're going to give you guys McDonald's. Some people are going, well, McDonald's is great. No, but, you know, I mean, the food, it probably looked good and all this. And probably even Daniel's friends are sitting there going, Daniel, you know what? Look, we don't do this. You know, this really isn't necessary. You know, God will understand. The people will understand. Just go with it. This kind of points out a truth when it comes to integrity as well, that oftentimes our integrity is not the easy choice. As a matter of fact, oftentimes integrity will go against what others think and what others are saying it's okay. Paul, one of the great missionaries, you see actually throughout his ministry, integrity was absolutely important to him. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, he puts it this way. He says, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administered this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. Now, this is a situation where Paul had been given a monetary gift to take to the church. And Paul was always concerned that people would look at him and say, you're doing this for personal gain. You're trying to get something out of this. And Paul said, we have done everything that we could to be sure that this was above board. And really, it started way back when Paul says, I want to choose integrity. I want to choose what I need to do that is right. And so it's important in that regard to see this. It's amazing how many times our choice of integrity ahead of time will impact what we do down the road. You know, integrity isn't just about the moment that it's required. Integrity is the choice that happens long before integrity has to be shown. Proverbs 4, 25 and 27 says it in this way, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is Solomon, the wisest man, and one of the things that he is basically saying here is, be ahead of it. Determine in your mind, make the choice ahead of time that you are going to be a person of integrity. Don't wait until later. Don't wait until the next decision. Don't wait until down the road. Daniel had already made the decision long before this moment that he was confronted with this idea of the food. He had already determined in his heart that he was going to be a man of integrity. You see, integrity, immovable integrity, starts with a choice. And maybe that choice is one that needs to be made today. Do I choose to be a man or a woman of integrity? I don't know how it's going to look down the road, but at some point in time, I will have to act upon that. Daniel chose integrity. But the next part of that is, not only is it a choice, integrity isn't just this idea of, yes, I'm gonna be a man of integrity, and then just wait for something to happen. Integrity also includes us knowing what is right. Know what is right. You know, this is important for us to get, because, like I said a moment ago, we can live being tossed back and forth and kind of going, well, is this really what I should be doing? Is that what I should be? You look at the story of Daniel, and again in verse 8, where it says that he had resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Now, it's interesting, because as you look at this, was the king's food bad? Was Daniel looking at this and going, you know what? There's a lot of carbs in the king's food. No. Oh boy, he really uses processed food. And really, I need, you know, if I eat this stuff, then I'm going to be unhealthy. I'm not going to feel good. And you know, this is just, it's not good for my system. I have this thing that goes on. And, you know, that's not what Daniel wasn't coming. He was not at the place where he was saying, I'm not going to defile my body with it. This was a heart issue, because Daniel understood God's position on the king's food. Well, what was God's position on the king's food? God had established for the people of Israel clean and unclean things. And that included the food. And God had said, there are certain foods that you are able to eat, and there are certain foods that you are unable to eat. See, that's why we struggle with this idea, possibly, of Daniel not wanting to eat the king's food, because we don't have to deal with that. We don't have a situation where we're going, you know what, God said don't eat these foods. But in their time, God had a very established, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't drink that. And so Daniel understood, he knew what was right. Again, knowing and understanding it doesn't always mean that it's an easy thing. And again, we can look at this situation that he was in, and Daniel's friends could have actually been saying, Daniel, there is nothing to this. We get it. This is when we were a people, but look, we've been taken captive. We are under the rule of the Babylonians. This is what we need to do now. And you know, the reality of that is we see this today in our culture as well. One of the things that we find is, it's not in the area of food, but it's in other areas of our culture where we say, is it really that big of a deal? Is it wrong? You know, it's interesting where I'll have conversations with somebody about activities or actions that they are involved in, and the question that comes back is it really wrong? See, Daniel knew what was right and what was wrong. In James chapter 4, verse 17, James tells it this way. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Now I've heard some people say, well, man, then probably the wisest thing to do is not know what is right. If you don't know what sin is, then you can't be in trouble for it, right? That's not what... Okay, if you take this one verse, you could go with that theology. But if you take the rest of the Bible, you will find that that is not good theology. As a matter of fact, we would find out that sin is sin, whether you know it's a sin or not. According to God's standard, a sin is a sin. But what this is saying is, take that one step farther. When we know better, Daniel knew what was right. Daniel understood God's paradigm for them as a people, and he knew that to eat the king's food was a spiritual sin against God. And he said, I can't do that. But yet we will find so many times in our culture today that what we will say is because everybody is doing it, because those within the faith are doing it, it can't be wrong. Then my word to this is you got to find out what God's word says. I want to share with you one area where we're seeing this. And I'm not going to go into detail with this today because down the road in a couple of months we're going to be dealing with it a little bit more. But one of the areas in our culture that has become sadly commonplace, as a matter of fact, they are assuming, or the statistics are saying that over a third of all people that are living in the same house are cohabitating out of marriage. We are seeing an increase in this activity, cohabitation, where people are living together, not married, as if they were married. Even in the church culture, we're seeing this. There's no difference in the numbers. And I've heard the conversations where it's, you know what, this is a smart financial thing, or we have this, we have that together, we bought a house, we're doing all of these different things. I've heard them all. And in a way, I've even heard somebody, one person told me, this is honoring to God that we are doing this. You know why this is happening? Because we don't know the Word of God. And if I don't know what right is, I will always fall towards the sin. I will always live the sin. Because that's what the heart wants to do. That's what the flesh will do. In Philippians 4:8, we see the way in which we can know what is right. And that's where he says, Paul says it this way, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Integrity begins in the mind when it comes to knowing right and wrong. Think on the things that are right. And so the question really comes down to, well, how do I think on the things that are right? God has given us all the answers in this book. And I would say to every one of us that one of the things that we can do better at is we can all be in God's Word more. Because the more that we are in God's Word, the more that we check out His truth, we begin to see what is right, what is wrong, what God desires for us. And we need to do that because then we find out what God's will is, not mine. You see, Daniel could have easily gone with the crowd. And most people would have said nothing about it. But Daniel knew the Word of God. Daniel knew the heart of God. And he knew that for him to take of that food and to eat of that food was in a way saying that his integrity was not found in God. You know, I think it's a good time actually to maybe take a moment and stop here. We can talk about what Daniel did. We can talk about integrity. We can talk about knowing what is right. But one of the things that Paul even tells us is from time to time, we need to examine ourselves and see if there is anything. That's what this week of the 40 days of prayer, this morning, is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about repentance. And this is one of those things where what a great way to start out the week, but to simply say this, God, where is the area in my life where integrity is being compromised? I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Tim was preaching and he made the statement something along the lines of, he said, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that there are those within the family who are not living in a way that is in accordance to God's plan. Integrity is knowing what is right and doing what is right. So let me ask, before I move on to the final point, is there an area in your life today where integrity hasn't been winning out? Where right has been pushed to the side because it's more convenient and popular for me to do this? If there is that in your life today, can I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to come in, to work on your heart, and I would encourage you, do not leave today without doing business with Him. Because of the last point. The third thing that we see with Daniel is simply this: integrity is confidence in God. It is understanding that God is in control and that God is the one who will be in charge. He will work things out. Integrity, as I said before, oftentimes goes against the norm around you, what is happening. And actually, integrity requires us to have confidence and trust that God will take us through. I love the story of Daniel because of the way that he goes about living out the integrity in this situation. You know, we often think that integrity means that we have to be belligerent against something. We've got to stand up and make sure that, you know, my voice is heard and you're wrong, you're terrible, you're horrible. And that's what we're seeing in our culture today is where we're not coming alongside of one another. Instead, we're wagging our fingers at one another and saying, you are bad, you are wrong. But look at what Daniel does here. And maybe we can take a little bit of an example from this. Daniel resolved not to defile himself, right? And he said he resolved not to defile himself by eating the king's food. Look at what he does in verses 11 and 14. In verses 11 through 14, Daniel goes to the guard and he says, hey, can I ask you to do a test? Simple test. He doesn't go to the guard and say, hey, I'm not eating this food. This is not right. You can't make me eat this food. No, notice what he does. As a matter of fact, Daniel puts all of his trust and confidence in God. And he puts it this way. He says, guard, let's do a test. How's about we do this? For 10 days, you feed me and my friends here nothing but vegetable and water while everybody else can eat the king's food. And you know what? We're not going to judge them based on that. We're going to do what we know is right. Okay? Let us for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, you look at us and then, and this is what I love about Daniel. Daniel says, then do what you think is best. In other words, Daniel was saying, I have confidence, full confidence in my God, that when we come to the end of this, you're going to see something very different about who we are than everybody else because we chose to do what is right. And he simply puts his trust in God. He doesn't get pigheaded. He doesn't get belligerent with the guy. He simply says, can we try this? And if it doesn't work, because you know what? God's plan may be different. If it doesn't work, then we will follow whatever is necessary. Why is it that so many times we fall to the temptation of sin? It really is a simple answer. Because we don't have confidence that God can take us through it. See, integrity will always lean into who God is and not into myself. When Paul was talking with Titus, he was setting him up for ministry and his encouragement in Titus 2 verses 7 and 8. He says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, serious and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. It's really a simple concept. Titus, live with integrity, because as you live with integrity, confidence in me will result in my work being done. Can I tell you something that maybe we need to hear in our time and our day today? God doesn't need activists. God needs men and women of integrity who will stand for God first and use them for His kingdom work. In Psalm 25, verse 21, the psalmist says, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope, Lord, is in you. There's something important to notice in that. Integrity is not placed because God proves himself to me. Integrity is in place because I trust and have confidence that God will work it out in the end. In Galatians 6:9, Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Integrity. Live by integrity, because what eventually will happen is God's will play itself out. God's will win in the end. And Daniel's story perfectly shows that. Because not only does God answer it, God goes above and beyond. God goes farther than Daniel was even expecting. Because you remember, Daniel goes to the guard and he says, hey guard, here's the deal. Do this test, and then whatever happens at the end of this 10 days, we're good with whatever. And if you read in there in Daniel chapter 1, it says that at the end of the 10 days, they looked at them, and Daniel and his friends were healthier and better than the others. Now, who are the others? Well, there's two groups of others here. As a matter of fact, one of the groups, they say that the king put them up against the enchanters, the seers, the magicians, and he said they were 10 times wiser and smarter than all of his wise men. They were strong. They were healthy. But not only was it them, but the other Israelite young men that were taken into captivity, their God had raised them above those who had said, you know what, we're going to go with the flow here. We're just going to allow things to happen. But because Daniel had made the choice that he was going to live with integrity, because he had decided to know what was right, he had made sure that he did what was right, he trusted in God, for whatever the outcome was, God took his integrity and caused it to grow. And actually, we go into the rest of Daniel and we see, because of this one decision in the very beginning, God used Daniel in an amazing way in the kingdom of Babylon. You want God to use you for kingdom purposes? Do you want God to use you to impact the kingdom of this earth for the kingdom of heaven? Then it needs to start with our integrity. It needs to start with who I am, not where people see me, but who I am when God alone sees me. And it needs to start now with a choice. Do I choose to be a person of integrity? Do I choose to do what is right when no one is looking? Do I choose to do what is right when it is the hard thing to do and nobody else is doing it? Do I choose to seek right all the time? And when I am doing this, do I have full confidence and faith that my God will bring me through in the end? You know, some of you may be dealing with a situation right now where you're having to question or bring into play your integrity. What will you do? What will your choice be? Will you do what is right and have confidence that God will work it in the end? Daniel, integrity, immovable. Will you be immovable for the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the example of Daniel that we have. Here's a young man that could have easily made other decisions, and many would have not said a word about it. But yet it was his heart to choose what was right all the time. Lord, help us to be Daniels. Help us to be men and women, young men and women, who choose in our heart that we want to be individuals of integrity, that we would stand out above the crowd, because we trust and have confidence in our God in all things. Lord, may we as a family of Daniels make a kingdom impact on this earthly world, because we're different than everybody else. Lord, don't make us into activists. Make us into children of the living God that live Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.